Well, let's pray as we come to God's word. Lord Jesus, who died and rose again, we praise you that because of what you have done, there is now a day of salvation. By your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would help us to understand your word, so that today we would repent of our sin and trust in you, and we would rejoice and be glad because of your great rescue. Amen. Now, a few years ago, a music teacher called James Partridge put a video on TikTok which went viral called Top 20 Primary School Assembly Bangers. And what made this video so popular was it tapped into a shared nostalgia. Whole generations of adults remember sitting on the wooden floor of their primary school hall, a bit like where we are today, singing these songs. Now, it wasn't long before Partridge, off the back of this, gave up his career in teaching to create a live touring show based on these classic songs, even performing the set on the Summer House stage at Glastonbury this year. But it wasn't just Partridge who tapped into this current cultural moment. In late 2022, the comedian Jason Manford released Assembly Bangers, a medley of these songs to raise money for the Trussell Trust. Now, what is an Assembly Banger? Well, do you remember as a child belting out in the hall any of the following? He's got the whole world in his hands. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Lord of the Dance. When I needed a neighbour, were you there? Were you there? And Colours of Day. So light up a fire, let the flame burn. Give me oil in my lamp. One more step along the world, I go. Those are all Assembly Bangers. And even though we may not have sung any of them in the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years, if someone was to start singing one of them, if I got Graham up here now and he played the first note and sang the first line, I guess for many of us, the words would come flooding back and we'd be able to join in with the singing. Now, another Assembly Banger is based on a verse from the Bible which we're going to focus on this morning. It went like this. I'm not going to sing it, but I'll say words. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Or if you look down at verse 24 of Psalm 118, without repetition, this is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Now, when we hear these words from verse 24, probably, I guess, what comes to mind immediately is this verse is saying that today is a day which God has made. And we are to praise him because we get to enjoy another day. And certainly every day is a day that God has made for us to make the most of. And we should give thanks to him because his mercies are new every morning. What I want us to see as we look at Psalm 118, verse 24 together, is that the day being spoken about is a different day. And this will become clear when we consider it in the light of the rest of Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is the final psalm of a collection of psalms that began with Psalm 113 called the Hallel Psalms. These psalms were sung by the people of Israel when they worshipped in the temple, especially during times of national thanksgiving. Most notably, Jewish families would chant them at the yearly Passover meal. That celebration and remembrance of the Exodus, of how God had saved his people from slavery in Egypt and brought them into the promised land. And just a quick skim through Psalm 118, you can see why they did that, why they would have chanted this psalm. The psalm begins with God's people being exhorted to give thanks to God for his love and faithfulness. Look down at verses 1 to 4. Give thanks to the Lord, For he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let Israel say, his faithful love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his faithful love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his faithful love endures forever. Now, why should they do that? Why should they give thanks to God for his love and faithfulness? Well, in verses 5 to 18, we're told why. And the big answer we're given there is because God has saved them. In these verses, we have the testimony of a man who is suffering, but who called out to God and was rescued. Look at verse 5. I called to the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and put me in a spacious place. This was something that Israel had experienced collectively time and time again, including in the past with the Exodus. They had known the Lord's help then in an unforgettable way. And because the Lord had saved them, in verses 19 to 27, they can worship him in his presence. So look at verses 19 to 21. Open the gates of righteousness for me. I will enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the Lord's gate. The righteous will enter through it. I will give thanks to you because you have answered me and have become my salvation. And so our first reading of a psalm, we might think that the day being spoken of, that the people should rejoice and be glad in, is not every day in general, but an actual historical day when God rescued him, when he intervened mightily on their behalf, a special day of deliverance. But which day of salvation does the psalmist have in view? Israel knew lots of days of salvation, which gave them many occasions to sing this psalm. But was there a particular day that God had made which a people were to rejoice and be glad in? And I want to suggest the answer is yes, there was a particular day. And for those who first sang this psalm, it was a day still to come, but hadn't happened yet. But they were told would take place. And what would take place on it? In verses 22 and 23. Look at those verses that come just before the verse we're looking at. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This came from the Lord. It is wondrous in our sight. The day that they were to rejoice in was the day when the cornerstone that the builders rejected became the cornerstone. Now, what is meant by that? Why was this a reason for them and now for us reading a psalm to rejoice and be glad? Well, to answer that question, we need to know first, who is the stone? Second, when did the builders reject it? And third, how did it become the capstone? So, who is the stone being spoken of here? Well, this is probably the easiest question of all. If in doubt, you give this answer, and you'd be right in this occasion. It is Jesus. The New Testament makes this clear in lots of places. One example, Acts 4 verse 11, the Apostle Peter makes this abundantly clear where he says, this Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. Jesus is the stone. Now, when was he rejected? Of course, it was when he was put to death on the cross. And how has he become the cornerstone? It was by being raised from the dead and exalted to the highest place, to the right hand of God, the place of power and authority. The day being spoken of is the day of Christ's resurrection after he died and was buried. The day God saved him from the dead. And this is a day we can rejoice in because it has now happened. We are to look back on it and be glad. And that's what the Assembly Banger, based on that verse, was actually encouraging us to do. Because you might remember that there was a second verse to it. This is the day when he rose again. When he rose again, we will rejoice and be glad in him. And be glad in him. Incredible theology from a kid's song. In fact, they understood the verse in the psalm really, really quite well. Even though we may not have realized it when we sang it. Now, having identified what the day of Psalm 118, verse 24 is, flowing from that, what I want us to be clear about then are two reasons why we are to rejoice and be glad. So here's the first reason. Firstly, rejoice, the Lord has made a day for Christ's salvation. Rejoice because the Lord has made a day for Christ's salvation. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. We've already seen that the day is the day Christ rose from the dead. The day when he wasn't abandoned to the grave. The day that meant his body didn't see decay. The day God raised Jesus, bringing him back to life, never to die again. But notice carefully what verse 24 tells us about this day. The Lord has made. The Lord made this day. He devised it. He brought it about. It didn't just happen. He made it. It was no accident that Jesus was put to death on the cross, nor was it that he was raised from the dead. The day of his death and the day of his salvation from the dead was planned by God. We go to the book of Acts again, and this comes through clearly. Acts 2, verses 23 and 24, Peter this time on the day of Pentecost. Though Jesus was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, you used lawless people to nail him to a cross and kill him. God raised him up, ending the pains of death because it was not possible for him to be held by death. The Lord made a day for Christ to be saved from the dead, to be raised to life. And that's what took place on it. On this day that God devised, Christ was raised. And what is our response to be? It's to rejoice and be glad. And on the day of Jesus' resurrection, we read that this is exactly what the first eyewitnesses did. John 20, verse 20. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Rejoice, the Lord has made a day for Christ. Salvation. But who is to rejoice? And the answer is we are. All of us. Everyone is. No one is excluded from the call. This day, designed by God for his Son, the Lord Jesus, to be raised from the dead, is a day that everyone should rejoice and be glad in. That is the right response, whether we feel like it or not. And that's because the day of Christ's salvation is good news for the whole world. It's good news for you. Because firstly, it shows us that sin has been dealt with. Our greatest need is for our sin, our rebellion against God, to be forgiven. For our sin no longer to be counted against us by God. Because as long as it is, we are under God's condemnation and facing eternal punishment in hell. However, God in his grace has provided a way for our sins to be forgiven. You see, Jesus' death on the cross was no ordinary death. He was dying in the place of sinners as a sacrifice to receive the punishment they deserve. But how do we know that God accepted his sacrifice? He saved him from death and raised him to life. God could only do that because there was no punishment left for him to take. The day of Christ's salvation is good news because it means sin has been dealt with. And forgiveness is now possible. And then secondly, it shows that death is defeated. Jesus rising from the dead means the grave is not the end. Death has lost its sting. Life after death is now possible. The day of Christ's salvation is good news because death has been defeated and there is hope for the future. That the Lord has made a day for Christ's salvation is a reason for us to rejoice because it shows that a great victory over sin and death has been won. What God did on that day when he raised Jesus from the dead, is to be marvelous in our eyes or wondrous in our sight. A cause of inner joy that overflows to outer gladness. And the Lord has made a day for Christ's salvation is a reason for us to rejoice. And because he has, there's a second reason for us to rejoice. Secondly, rejoice because the Lord has made a day for your salvation. Rejoice because the Lord has made a day for your salvation. By making a day for Christ to be saved, salvation from sin and death has been accomplished. Forgiveness of sins, rescue from the wrath to come, eternal life after death is now a possibility for you. And it can be yours if you respond to this good news by repenting of your sins and trusting in Jesus to be your Saviour and Lord. Did you know that the Lord has made a day for you to do that? Because he has. And that day is today. Paul, quoting a promise of God in Isaiah, writes, "Now is a day of salvation. Now is a day to respond to Christ's offer to save you by trusting in him, by turning from your sins and relying on his death and resurrection to accomplish for you what you can never accomplish for yourself. And the day you do that will be the day that the Lord made for your salvation. For you to go from darkness to life, from death to life, from slavery to freedom, from condemnation to justification, from hostility to friendship. So the day of your salvation, the day you trusted in Christ, the day of your conversion is another day, another reason to rejoice. Rejoice, the Lord has made a day for your salvation because he made a day for Christ's salvation. Now, if you're here and you've never repented of your sin, you've never trusted in Christ as your Saviour, God has given you today to do that. This very day. He's made today, not tomorrow, as a day for your salvation. We're not to wait to accept the offer. We're not to refuse his offer. He's given you today to respond and then rejoice and be glad. As there's no guarantee that you'll have tomorrow to do that. You see, one day can be the difference between salvation and missing out on salvation. Now, to show how urgent this is, think of the days of Noah. For 120 years, while he built the ark, Noah, we're told, was a preacher of righteousness. He was warning people that a flood was coming. Every day in those 120 years was a day for others to join Noah and his family on the ark. But no one did. There was a last today for them. And still no one took up the offer of rescue. And the next day was too late. It wasn't a day that the Lord had made for them to be saved. And they perished in the flood. If God has made today, we have to make sure that we have responded today. And the reason we must is because there is another day to come which the Lord has made. One where there will be much rejoicing. The day when Christ returns. And on this day there will be a great separation of people into two groups. Those who have rejoiced in Christ's salvation and their own salvation in this life will be one group. And on that day, they will be rejoicing and being glad like they've never done before. As they'll enjoy eternal life in the new creation. Where there'll be no sadness and no suffering. No war, no famine. No shootings and stabbings and slaughter and no scandal and sleaze and no sickness and no sin and no death. What a day that will be. What a day that is that the Lord has made for us if we are in that group. But those who did not rejoice in the day of Christ's salvation, nor had any reason to rejoice in the day God made for their salvation, because they never responded to the kind offer made to them, this coming day won't be a day when they rejoice. This coming day won't be a day when they are glad. It'll be a day of regret, a day of wrath, a day of eternal punishment in hell. This is why it is such good news that the Lord has made a day for your salvation. A day to believe in the Lord and be safe from the judgment to come. So have you done that? Are you rejoicing today in the day the Lord has made for Christ's salvation? Are you rejoicing today as the day the Lord made for your salvation? Because if you are, did you know that the Lord has made some days for you to do this? To rejoice in Christ's salvation and to rejoice in your own. What are those days? Well, it's every day and a specific day. It's every day. But look, the Apostle Paul writes to a church in Philippi, a few chapters after the one that Jack read earlier. Philippians 4 verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Every day is a day for us to remember and to rejoice because Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That he lived a perfect and righteous life. That he died on the cross to take a penalty your sins deserve. And he rose on the third day and on that day defeated our biggest sins, sin and death. We're to choose each day to rejoice and be glad because there was a day when Christ was saved. We're also to rejoice and be glad because of that day meant there was a day that he saved us. And that means we're loved by God. Our sins have been forgiven. Our guilt is before God is gone. We have peace with him, adopted into his family. The Holy Spirit living in us to guide and comfort and help us. And that our future is secure. We have a hope of a heavenly inheritance where we enjoy eternal life, free from pain and sin and death. And all things, these things cannot be taken away from us. There's that wonderful line that we sang in that second song, A Debtor to Mercy Alone, right at the end. More happy, but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. And that's true. What we have cannot be taken away from us. So even when each day is tough, disappointing, sad, when it's simply hard, we can have joy. Our testimony can be about like that of the prophet Habakkuk, who said, though the fig tree does not bud, and there is no fruit on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though the flocks disappear from the pen, and there are no herds in the stalls, yet I will celebrate in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I like that of the Apostle Paul, who spoke of being sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. In fact, we can be like the Lord Jesus himself. Because the words of Psalm 118 are words that he sang. In Mark's Gospel, we're told that after eating the Passover meal with his disciples, they sang a hymn before going out to the Mount of Olives, where he would be betrayed and arrested and taken off to be crucified. What's most likely about him that he's saying? It'd been Psalm 118. Even though he knew the pain and suffering and anguish that he was about to experience on the cross as he drank the cup of God's wrath, our sins deserve, the Lord Jesus could still sing, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And that's because he saw beyond the cross to the day of his salvation and to the day of our salvation that his death would make possible. And so with the joy set before him, he submitted to his Father's will and endured the judgment we deserve for our sins. In the face of difficulties, we can. No, we should rejoice. Not because of the difficulties, but because Christ is risen and our names are written in heaven. Each day is a day God has made for us to rejoice in Christ's salvation and our own salvation. But there's also a specific day that God has made to rejoice. The Lord's Day. Every Sunday, like we're doing now. You see, after Jesus rose from the dead, his followers began to gathering to worship on the Sundays, to remember and celebrate his resurrection and salvation from sin and death they had because of this. And this remains a day for us who trust in Christ to rejoice together. Coming to worship God each week on Sunday should never be a burden, something we have to do, something we just have to quickly get over with so we can enjoy the rest of our day. Our attitude should be like that of a psalmist who said, "I rejoice with those who said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord." Why? Because God has made this day to worship him, to sing his praises, to ask him for his help in prayer, to hear his word. And as we do, we get to rejoice together that God made a day for Christ's salvation and for our own. To express how grateful to God we have a Saviour and that we are saved. So that on the day when Jesus returns, we will be among that great multitude from every tribe and language and people and nation who with one voice will be with exuberant joy saying, "This is the day that the Lord has made for his Son to return from heaven." We will rejoice and be glad in it, because the Saviour who died, who was buried, had a day when he would be saved and rose. And because he had a day when he was saved, we too can have a day when we will be saved, so that we can rejoice each day and every Sunday until the day when he comes. And on that day, what a day it will be, and we will rejoice and be glad for all eternity. Let's pray. This is a day that the Lord has made. Our Father, we thank you for all the days that you have ordained. The day you ordained for your Son to come into the world to save sinners. The day you ordained for him to die as a sacrifice to sin. The day you made for him to rise from the dead. We thank you that we can look back and see that day, the day of Christ's resurrection, the day when you saved him. And we today can rejoice and be glad in. And we thank you because of that day, there is a day that you made for us to be saved. For some of us, that day was a long time ago. The day when, by your grace, you opened our eyes to see the glory of the risen Saviour. To see all that he achieved on the cross and brought us to faith in him. Lord, we thank you for that day we experienced and the way in which you have sustained us each day since. And all for any who have yet to trust in him, Lord, we pray that they would see that today is a day when they can do that, because today is a day for salvation. Lord, please would you help us all to trust in the Saviour. Enable us to do that, we pray, so that on the day when he returns, we will be among that great company of your people, rejoicing and being glad in the Saviour who has won salvation for us. Amen.